From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of December, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason, traveling this week with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits and the Farm Doc team. We're in Mount Vernon today. We'll be in Peoria tomorrow and DeKalb on Wednesday. We hope you will join us for one of those next two in Peoria and DeKalb. You can do that still off our website at willag.org, willag.org. Walk in. Are welcome, but you may as well register ahead of time because we're just going to have you scan a code and register on the website anyway. Again, that's at willag.org to register for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits in Peoria on Tuesday and Wednesday in DeKalb. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets, of course, with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. And then Joanna Colusi, who's traveling with us this week, a member of the Farm Doc team, an agricultural economist at the University of Illinois, will discuss with us prospects for this year's Brazil and Argentine corn and soybean crops and what the outlook for the growth might be in those nations, particularly in Brazil, as it's related to available farmland. You will be stunned by what you hear, so stay with us for that. And then as we close out our time together, we'll talk about the weather forecast too, not only for the United States, but for South America. We'll do that with Mark Russo of Everstream Analytics on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. No markets for the day because I'm traveling with the Illinois Farm Economic Summit and the Farm Doc team. We hope you will join us in Peoria or DeKalb. Right now, Kurt Kimmel is with us. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us a bit early today. What does the Monday trade look like?
Boy, it just feels slow once again. The soybean market's a little bit on the defensive. We saw the weather forecast for central part of South America kind of favorable. Northern Brazil and far southern Argentina starting to dry out a little bit, but we still have quite a bit of time to go here as we get more into the growing season after the first of the year. This morning's crush report, just a little disappointing. 193 million bushels being crushed. The trade was looking more of a number towards 197 million. Bean oil stocks, 1084. The average guess was just a little higher than that, 1123. It's a little tighter bean oil stock. The bean oil's down quite a bit today on correction of the spread. Meal up, bean oil down. So just kind of ho-hum trade activity. We're seeing the market kind of be in holiday mode. On the commodity fund side of the equation, the funds extended their long corn position up to 165,000 contracts. So they're wanting to maintain some ownership in corn. Going into midday here, commodity funds have sold about 2,300 contracts of beans while buying about 5,800 contracts of corn and 3,500 contracts of wheat. So we'll see how the week finishes here as we go into the close.
We've been talking with your counterparts, Jim McCormick, along with Matt Bennett, over the last several days for some programming. Matt joining us on the Farm Assets Conference Friday. And you have been a seller, agmarket.net, of corn futures, or rather of cash corn, going into the end of the year. Are you still in that mode?
Yeah, protected is probably the right word because some's made cash sales, some has hedged the board, and a lot have put in price floors under the marketplace, leaving the upside open. But Brian Splitt, one of the partners, and he's just been doing a phenomenal job on the technical picture of the marketplace. He kind of feels we're back in that 2014 chart for corn price mode. And it's not exact, but the highs and the low are kind of falling in place and through here. In that particular year, we topped out going to year end on corn, and we just kind of rolled over and went lower, which might fit the fundamental picture of increased cash sales after the first year, and also maybe a little slowed down in demand. So we're kind of in that mindset to get to where you want to be between now and year end. Also, that particular year, 2014, I believe the carryouts are matching up on corn about 1.7, give or take a little bit, 1.7 billion bushels to be in that ballpark.
And on the tech front, you're all watching the 200-day moving average as a cap for corn.
The 200 days right up there. But one observation is the upfront March corn held the 10-day moving average just right below Friday's low. So if you want a kind of a speculative trade in through here, you could probably look at buying the corn market, put a stop under Friday's low. Then as we go back to the upper end there, slip out of it. It feels like about the best strategy is take a little out of the middle. I don't really foresee a large up or a large down until we get after the first of the year, Todd.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net. Well, as you know, I'm traveling this week with the Farm Doc team for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. We're in Mount Vernon today, where Joanna Colucci joined us. She'll be with us all week. In fact, today she's talking about Brazil and Argentina, some prospects there. We'll talk with her in just a moment about her slide set and what she sees from those two nations in South America coming up. But just a quick reminder, if you'd like to join us, you still may. Walk-ins are welcome. The cost is $100. We'll be at the Paradise Hotel and Casino in Peoria tomorrow at the hotel, not the casino, but you can still join us and go to the hotel if you want, or the casino, either one. It doesn't matter. But you need to register. You may as well do that now online, because we're just going to make you do the registration online if you walk in anyway. You're going to scan a QR code, so get yourself registered. Go to willag.org and hit the link for the Peoria Illinois Farm Economics Summit. Same goes for Wednesday in DeKalb. We'll be at the Burisma Alumni Center. That's on the Northern Illinois University campus. So we hope to see you at one of those 2 days. Walk-ins are still welcome. Register at willag.org. Now let's turn our attention to Joanna Colucci. She's a member of the Farm Doc team, has been with us for about 4 years, does just a fantastic job with South America. She's a native of Brazil and has a really good handle on what's happening in both Brazil and Argentina. Thank you so much, Joanna, for being with us. Can you take me through prospects that you see for this year's corn and soybean crops in Brazil first?
Hey, Todd, thank you so much for having me. So it's off season here in the U.S. It's winter time, but in South America is summer. So it's the crop season right now. As the beginning of December, over 90% of the soybeans were planted in Brazil. Brazilian soybean acreage is projected to grow by 2.6%. This would be the slowest growth in a decade, driven by lower profit margins for farmers. Very similar than we are seeing here in the U.S. in terms of high production costs and low revenues. But despite that, the current crop season is forecast to hit a record over 6.1 billion bushels. That will be the first time that Brazilian farmers will produce more than 6 billion bushels. So the harvest season, especially in the center-west states, in Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, Goiás, will start pretty soon, in the beginning of January. So, and for corn, right after the soybean harvest in January and February, Brazilian farmers will start to plant the second season of corn. The first season of corn is planting right now in the south of Brazil. As the beginning of December, over 70% of the corn first crop was planted. Brazilian corn acreage is expected to remain stable. Total corn production is expected to reach around 4.7 billion bushels, a 3% increase compared to the last year. If achieved, this would mark the second largest harvest in history.
When you think about Brazil and how big their crop is, what are the things that work in the favor of Brazilian farmers, and what are the things that don't work in favor for them?
In terms of Brazil export, for example, Brazil has broken soybean export records in the last few years, and the projected record exports are based on, of course, abundant supplies and a highly favorable exchange rate for Brazilian farmers. So Brazilian currency depreciation against the US dollar often benefits farmers by making exports more competitive. Of course, on the other hand, it raises the cost of imported inputs like fertilizers and chemicals. So I would say that this depreciation of the Brazilian real compared to the US dollar has benefits Brazilian farmers, because here in the US, dollar is dollar. In Brazil, every day, dollar has a different value. So even though if the prices in international market are not good, Brazilian farmers, they can offset these low prices with a higher in conversion from the US dollar to the Brazilian real, because they receive the money in dollar in terms of commercialization.
Let's stay with corn for just a second. The United States Department of Agriculture in the December WASD raised U.S. exports for corn by 150 million bushels. Normally, we would be competing, I think, against Brazil, even at this time of year. And I'm wondering how their export situation is at this point.
Yeah, you are right. Fall is typically the period when Brazil's corn exports peak, but that trend has not happened. And like you said, meanwhile, U.S. corn export sales have been strong, especially in the past few weeks. Brazil has reduced its shipments in 2024 in terms of corn, and there are two main factors for the slowdown in Brazil's corn exports. One is the recovery of supply in other major producing countries, such as the United States, Europe, and Argentina. And the second one is the decline in Chinese demand that has contributed to a slowdown in Brazil corn exports. So last year, just for give you an idea, Brazil from January to December 2023, Brazil exported 2.2 billion bushels. For this year, the forecast from January to December 2024, that's Brazil will export 1.6 billion bushels. That means a reduction over 25% compared to the last year.
Let's stay with South American nations. We'll move to Argentina and talk about crop prospects there to begin with. And then I do want to come back as we wrap up with total acreage outlook in Brazil, because it appears that there's just a tremendous amount of headroom there. Start with the crop prospects in Argentina for this season.
Yes, so let's start with the soybean season. So as the beginning of December, over 60% of the soybeans were planted in Argentina. Soybean planted area is expected to grow by 7% in the current crop season to 44 million acres. That could be the largest expansion in soybean planting season since the 2016. And production is projected to reach almost 2 billion bushels, a 6% increase. The primary factor behind this increase in soybean production is the impact of the corn stunted disease. Last season, corn faced significant losses due to the bacterium spread by the leafhopper pest, which stunts the crop growth. So many farmers, they lost their entire corn crop to the disease, making them particularly cautions this season. So that's the reason that Argentina's corn planted area is projected to decrease by 25%. That's equivalent to 6 million acres. And this would mark the largest relative drop in corn acreage in 17 years. So unlike in Brazil, soybeans and corn share the same planting period in Argentina, competing for the same growing area. So when farmers, they increase the soybean areas as a area, as a consequence, they will decrease the corn area. And they decided to do that this year because of this concern around the corn stunt disease.
And finally, come back to Brazil. You've done a lot of work thinking about how much acreage is available in Brazil. Can you tell me what kind of results you've been able to tally?
Yes, there is a huge potential for Brazilian agriculture continue increasing the area. There is a study that was published this year by Embrapa. Embrapa is the research corporation in Brazil that shows that Brazil could increase 70 million acres from degraded pasture land into cropland. So without deforestation, it's important to say that because this land is in Brazilian savanna. The Cerrado is not in the Amazon, and that areas that are already occupied by livestock nowadays, that areas that ranchers sometimes they don't have good profitability, so is worth for them either to rent this land or to sell this land to farmers instead of invest in this land. So related to the conversion from degraded pasture land into crop production, there is a potential around 70 million acres. That represents 35% increase compared to the current crop season. And of course, the highest potential is concentrated in the center-west states, in Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, Goiás, and a little bit in northeast states as well. And if you think about the expansion of double cropping, there is one additional 40 million acres potential that could be the double crop between soybeans with second corn in Brazil. And that represents a double compared to the current crop season. So in summary, if you put together 70 million acres from the degraded pasture land into cropland and plus 40 million acres from the double cropping, we are talking about one potential of over 100 million acres. Of course, there are a lot of factors at play: international markets, Chinese demand, the Brazilian exchange rate, and domestic consumption. So I'm saying that this amount of cropland is the amount of land that could be converted. It's a availability of land.
It is a vast amount of land by comparison. United States corn and soybean production generally is about 180 million acres total. That's including the double crop for soybeans. And you're adding 100 million acres or 110 million acres in Brazil, potentially, on top of what they already have. Thank you, Joanna Colucci. Those who'd like to see Joanna in person can do that tomorrow in Peoria, East Peoria, in fact, at the Paradise Casino. You can find all the details on our website at willag.org or on Wednesday in DeKalb on the Northern Illinois University campus. Let's take a look at the global growing regions and the weather forecast with Mark Russo now. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hello, Mark. Thanks for being with us again on a Monday.
Hello there, Todd.
Well, let's start here in the United States. It was cold. It was snowy. It was really cold. And now I'm in southern Illinois. We had a rain storm run through last night, a lot of thunder. And I think it must have dropped a little bit of rain. I don't really know how much, but boy, things change. It feels like we're in that November time frame as opposed to December because it's just fluctuating so much.
Yeah, we've certainly seen a big fluctuation in temperatures here of late, and that does look to continue for the next week to 10 days. It's still going to be mild for another 3 to 4 days, but then another pocket of Arctic air will come down into the Corn Belt this weekend. But it looks brief in duration. It's going to be followed up by a return of milder temperatures next week. So we're not seeing it as being the start of any kind of long-term pattern. And if anything here, things are looking actually, you know, super warm or mild between Christmas to New Year's and even into early Jan as well.
There is a question across the Corn Belt, I think, about precipitation and subsoil moisture levels, whether the tiles are running. Most of them are not, or a lot of them are not, despite the fact of the rainfall that we have had. Do you see a time frame yet in the next, I don't know, few weeks or maybe over the winter months where recharge can and will take place?
least over the next couple of weeks, we're not seeing that here. You know, there was some rain activity over the weekend, but it's not going to be followed up by any kind of major storm events here. There will be some minor rains down in the Delta, the Ohio River Valley, but all in all, it's a drier pattern, so we do not see anything significant. Can there be replenishment down the road? Certainly that can take place. What would have to take place is generally the milder temperatures were to continue, and then we begin to see stronger storm systems and, you know, more frequent storm systems that would deposit larger scale, more meaningful precip totals. And again, that's something that could happen maybe mid-Jan and beyond, but it's a long ways off there to discuss any kind of details on that.
Now turn your attention to South America. We'll begin in Brazil. Can you work your way from Tocantins in the north west through the center west, Mato Grosso, down to the southern part of that nation? Kind of give us an overview of what growing weather has been through this time frame, particularly for soybean.
Well, Todd, yeah, over the past several weeks, in general, those far northeastern northern areas, including Tocantins extending northeastward towards Bahia, they have been on the drier side of normal, although it has not been extreme. As you move south of there, rain activity has become more normal into center west Brazil, and then actually above normal across areas of southern Brazil and even some localized pockets within Argentina. So right now there is no large-scale dryness or any kind of big concerns. And even with the drier pattern of late far north, that's now beginning to change. In fact, the pattern over the next couple of weeks will feature normal to above normal rainfall across northeast, far northern Brazil, center west Brazil. So that will once again recharge soil moisture there. Then in southern Brazil and even into Argentina, that is going to be the drier zone the next 2 weeks. But because soil moisture right now is adequate and there's not going to be any kind of heat the next 15 days, we don't have any immediate concerns. So a little bit drier, Argentina and southern Brazil coming up, but again, no reason for any big concerns or anything that looks overly threatening in terms of yield potential.
Nothing of concern further out, I suppose, mostly for Argentina and Brazil as they're moving through the summer months at this point in Brazil. But Argentina is still fairly early in the season in some parts of that nation.
Yeah, we still need to keep an eye on Argentina and for that matter, far southern Brazil with the La Nina event. And you know, again, during growing seasons, that can result in more heat and dryness. We certainly have not seen that really up to this point, but we can't totally turn our back here on Argentina and southern Brazil because that risk is still elevated here, you know, more kind of mid to late season as well.
Thank you very much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Rousseau. He's with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Medium. I'm on the road through a portion of this week today in Mount Vernon with the Illinois Farm Economic Summits and the Farm Doc team. Tomorrow we'll be in Peoria. You may still register. Walk-ins are welcome. The cost is $100, but you may as well do that online. Go to our website at willag.org, willag.org. You can also register for the DeKalb event, which is on Wednesday of this week. We'll be at the Paradise Hotel and Casino tomorrow when we are in East Peoria, and we'll be at the Burisma Alumni Center on the Northern Illinois University campus in DeKalb. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.